The following presentation is a production of Ride the Wave Media.
Hello and welcome to Practically Magic. I am Courtney Pearl, pagan folk witch, intuitive card reader, healer, spiritualist, Celtic priestess, teacher, artist, and mystic seeker. I am on a journey of discovering true and real magic, and I wish to share it with you, the world. We're going to start today's episode by pulling a card. And today I am using my tried and true favorite, the Ethereal Visions deck, which has two extra cards in it. It is the traditional tarot deck for the most part, except for it has the Well and the Artist in the major arcana, which is something the traditional tarot does not have. So I love it for that reason, but I am going to pull a card today. Today's episode subject we're going to talk about today is masculine and feminine energies. I'm going to talk about balancing masculine and feminine energies and what that means and talk a little bit about that. And I don't know if this card is going to be in line with the subject we're going to talk about or if it's just going to be simply what it is you need to hear today. I'm actually going to pull two cards because I pulled first the Ace of Pentacles. And I feel like this is going to require a little bit of a clarifying card, which I sometimes need in divination when you're pulling cards. You might get a card where you're like, I know the symbolism of this card, but I don't know what it's trying to tell me today. And so I'll pull a second card. So I have pulled the Hierophant as the second card, which is interesting. And this one looks a little bit different than the Rider-Waite-Smith. It has kind of this holy God-looking figure in the center. He's sort of like he's making the sign of the cross, and he has kind of a cross staff or wand that he's holding in his hand. This has the golden foil on it, which I love. It's sort of this idea that we're looking to something more wise or more spiritual or with more authority than ourselves. It can sometimes be that we are that authority, but I feel like because I pulled it with the Ace of Pentacles, it feels kind of like there's this beginning kind of feeling that comes with that. And in this particular card, we have a hand going over the pentacle and a hand going under, which to me is a little bit like one of my favorite symbols that I absolutely love in paganism and Celtic lore is the Viscus Pisces, which is the it's sort of like a Venn diagram inside of a circle, but it's turned on its side. So there's a circle above and there's a circle below, and it kind of creates this little crab shape in the middle, like a Venn diagram would in the middle. And this is sort of the idea of as above, so below, which if you're in the witchy world, you've heard that phrase more than once. As above, so below. So I think that this card is coming forward for us today because we're going to talk a lot about balance. We're going to talk a lot about varying degrees of energies. And I feel like this is helping us welcome this beginning topic that we're going to begin to understand and collect some wisdom about this. I don't ever feel like I am the one who is partaking this wisdom as some authority figure. I always feel like I am just the learner who is sharing what I'm learning or what I'm going through and just giving that opportunity to others who are maybe at the beginning of their journey to find their path and what it is that they're looking for. I do think that I've had experiences. I think that I've had knowledge. I think that I have had, I'm well-read, well-researched in a lot of these topics, but I never consider myself when I pull this card as myself to be the Hierophant. And it wasn't until I pulled this card for another reading that I said, well, maybe I'm looking for a mentor. Maybe this card means that I am looking for something. And I had a friend pull me aside, I guess, in the best term, pull me aside and say, what if you're the Hierophant? What if you're the one who's going to be offering this wisdom and this knowledge to other people and being a mentor for others? And I thought, well, that is a very unique way to look at it, in my opinion. Maybe that's the way other people do see it. And so I'll let you decide. As a listener today, do you glean something new and a beginning out of this conversation we're about to have today? Or is it that you are seeking some guidance from others? Today's topic is, I'm so excited to get into it because it is one of my absolute favorite things to contemplate, to gather, to, I don't know, just kind of philosophize about in particular, which is this idea of the masculine and feminine. And I want to start out with a little bit of story, a little bit of folklore, a little bit of mythology that comes into play when we talk about this. And for me, the come from the Celtic sense, I like to use the Welsh mythology, the Celtic mythology, but that isn't the only place and only culture that this shows up, which it shows up in a lot of ways in many cultures across many mythologies. So I want to talk about the sacred union. Now, the sacred union comes up a lot. It's even mentioned in the Bible. It's mentioned in many different spiritualities with many different contexts. But essentially, the sacred union is the balance between the masculine and feminine, as it would be a marriage. And I want to be very clear that when I am talking about masculine and feminine energies today, I am not talking about gendered. The idea that these energies are gendered as man and woman, or that there is only those two genders, I want it to be very clear that I'm going to talk about these energies as they exist within each one of us and expanded out into the universe itself, that there is not a duality, as in there has to be one or the other, because I truly believe that we are not a species or a planet of just duality, of one or the other. But I am going to talk about masculine and feminine energies as if they are two different things and how there are an infinite amount of possibilities in between. Okay. So let's say if there was a pendulum swinging back and forth, there is masculine on one side and feminine on the other, there is an infinite number of points between those two extremes. And that is more or less what we're going to talk about today. So I'll get into that a little bit as we go. But in the stories of the sacred union, we were talking about a lot of mythologies, particularly in the Celtic tradition, that have to do with kings and the goddess. And in pre-Christian times, it is very common for you to see certain folklore or certain traditions, even that still have, there's still evidence of it today in the culture, that the king, in order for him to have that sovereignty of his realm or his kingdom, he would have to be tested and proven worthy of his king role, his kingship, by the goddess. And the goddess can be represented by a queen, a woman, a priestess, or the very land itself. So the idea that the land is the feminine and that the king is the masculine, and that in order for him to even have his authority or to be deemed worthy for that authority, he would have to be approved by the goddess herself, by the land. And he would have to make a sacred promise and oath to the land that that he was going to protect and provide. And we see this in the stories like the mythology of King Arthur. King Arthur being one of my favorites. His the very first mentions of King Arthur are some in the Welsh mythology. The story of Mabon and some of the stories in the Mabinogi, Arthur is mentioned. And I know we think of him as a very British character, but he has a claim, his kingship and his role. There are claims to him in almost every part of Northern Europe. There is a lot of places that claim to be either the birthplace of King Arthur, or this is where King Arthur's court of Camelot was, or all kinds of stories that happen around him. But in the story of King Arthur, we see that King Arthur has many different queen roles that are played in his story, in his mythology. For example, you have his wife, Guinevere, who is sometimes treated as a goddess in the mythology. There are some that put her name up there as one of the Welsh goddesses, or they call her Guinevere. And Arthur means great bear in Welsh. Arth is bear. And so we're talking about how in order for Arthur to prove his ability to be king, he has to make certain promises that he will align the Christian and pagan, that he will be an advocate for balance, and that he is not just marrying Guinevere, but he is also marrying her as a stand-in for the land. But we also see this in that the Lady of the Lake, or the High Priestess of Avalon, however you happen to associate with that story, she's the one who has to present him with Excalibur. And in some stories, it's his half-sister Morgaine, or it is Morgaine le Fay, Morgaine of the Fairies. She is the one who is also a priestess of Avalon, who bestows upon him this gift of Excalibur. The idea is that Arthur cannot be deemed king of Britain without some test and without some proof that he is worthy, and that the goddess, or representations of the goddess, have given him his sovereignty. And we call these sovereignty goddesses, right? So we also see like remnants of this in the culture now, when we have like the May Queen. A lot of places in Europe still celebrate May 1st, and they have the Maypole, and they have festivities celebrating spring, celebrating the fertility of the land. During the Beltane time of the year, there are fires lit in the fields. The cows are cleansed and walked through the fires. Lots of ritual and lots of old world mythology that is tied up into that. And these kinds of things are still practiced today. If you go to Europe, they still do lots of these traditions that are part of the festivals there. And one thing they have is they have the horned god, or the green man, that represents the king, or represents the horned god. And he has this wedding with the May Queen. So a maiden is chosen to represent the May Queen. And there's sort of a sacred union happening there. And sometimes, it's referred to in the old rites of Beltane that there would be fertility rites, right? There would be people exercising their fertility in the fields, on the soil itself. You can take that for what it is. I think there's still some remnants of that practice, in that people get very frisky during this time of year when May is coming up, and there's a lot of like blessing the land and its abundance, that the seeds that are planted will be fruitful in the season. And so there is a lot of symbolism in that, when there is a union between a masculine and a feminine in the mythology, in the stories, it's representing both balances of those energies, and that in the coming together of those, there's a sacred union that happens. This is also mentioned in the New Testament, in the story of Jesus, And a lot of people say when they bring in the Gnostic Gospels and bring those back into the tests in the New Testament, there is a lot more evidence that perhaps Mary Magdalene was a representation of the feminine when Jesus was the masculine, and that him being king of the Jews, or him being coming as the savior, that he would not have been able to have an atonement for his people without that sacred union of the feminine. And so that was taken out because it didn't serve the message that the emperors and the religious leaders wanted to display. They were much more literalists, and the Gnostics were much more of, well, this is a representation of what we believe as the sacred union, that perhaps because Mary Magdalene came from a royal line and so did Jesus, that their sacred union was actually the atonement, and what that means for his story, his mythology. And we see that in the story of Isis and Osiris in the Egyptian mythology. We see that with in the Chinese symbol of the yin and the yang are the masculine and feminine energies that are balanced when they are equal and tied together in the yin-yang symbol. All of these represent these divine coming together of these energies, which I'm going to talk about in some magical contexts and what that means for us as people, as individuals, and what that means for our society. So I want to talk about how, again, just to reiterate, these energies that I'm talking about, when I say masculine and feminine, I am not talking about men and women as genders, as dual, but that there are infinite combinations, and so too are humans, that humans do not exist within the genders of just two genders, that there is just a presenting as a woman, the feminine, and then presenting as a man, the masculine, and that's the only two that are possible. Clearly, if we've progressed into a world enough to realize that there is non-binary, there are people who are non-binary presenting, feminine presenting, and non-binary masculine presenting, and I mean, everything in between. So respecting people as they come to those energies is not about one or the other. It's about having respect for every bit and parts that plays the part in this. And I want to talk about them as energies, that these energies of masculine and feminine can exist and do exist as part of us, as every individual human being. But as we know, they have not necessarily been favored and respected in the same way. So we are in the mystical world, in the people that work with these energies, work in the magical world, mystics and healers and witchcraft. And I mean, almost everybody that I come across in this kind of realm and in the reading, we can agree. It sounds like everyone agrees pretty wholeheartedly that we are in the middle of what we call a feminine awakening. And I want to be very careful about saying that because it can be controversial. I am sure there are many people who are going to hear me say that and go, what about the men? And I would say, yeah, what about the men? That's exactly what my answer would be. What about the men? Because if every person individually has masculine and feminine energies existing within us, if the feminine has been notoriously in recent history been disrespected and not honored in the way that it should be, that we have favored the masculine for such a very long time, what does that say about each and every one of us, especially men who do have feminine energies within them? That in denying and disrespecting a whole part of themselves, they've actually been unhealthy, in that there is a whole piece of their entire whole being that they have rejected, or that in our society has not been respected. So I want to talk about that kind of in the way that it shows up in mythology, which sometimes not every culture has the exact same symbolism. But most of the time when we see these energies, we see them represented as the sun in the masculine sense and the moon in the feminine sense. And so I'm going to kind of use that symbology to help explain when these energies show up in our society. So for example, So if the sun is the masculine, we can see that in the sense that it might be something like productivity, efficiency, product over process, capital gains. It comes with the daily cycles that the sun day to night and then day again. But it can also run in yearly cycles. So the seasons as we travel around the sun. So if that is a masculine energy, and let's just say that for this discussion, that is masculine energy, we can see how valuable that is. We don't want to deny that in our society or within each other, because that's what drives us to cooperate with each other and to do the work, the labors that it takes to be successful, to be productive, to show up for one another and cooperate with one another and work as a society. And I think most people can agree that in capitalism, there is something about that that does work because it incentivizes everybody to do their part, even people that may not have been motivated to help out or to be a part of the community or to pull their weight, so to speak, right? And there is something within our brains that gets quite a bit of joy and comfort out of the what we've been able to create. So being able to see the product of our labors, to be able to see that when we paint a wall, we see it finished and complete, and we can get that dopamine and we can get that encouragement out of, look at what I've accomplished, right? We actually just painted our wall this weekend. My husband worked very, very hard to paint our living room walls a new color, which it's crazy how different the energy feels just from a different color on the walls. If you haven't gone back to listen to my episode about colors, that would explain how even when you don't change anything else about a space, but you paint the walls a different color, it has a completely different energy and a different feel about it. But here we get to sit back and look at these new walls and say, those walls used to be white, boring, and now they are blue, kind of a, the color I picked is like an azurite, smoky blue, I think something like that it's called. So it's very like earthy, smoky blue, and it has a completely new feeling about it. And it just, you get to stand back and look at it and say, look at how much we got done in the hours we spent working on this. And I say we, but actually my husband was the one who put in a lot more of the work while I was chasing kids around all weekend. But yeah, so productivity, sun, we need that. We need the sun. We need the summertime. We need the time of year, the time of our lives, and the time of our own cycles where we feel like we are getting a lot accomplished. But on the other side of that, if we were to have a society, a time, and an entire being, an existence that only operated as sunshine, that would not work, would not be healthy. We would burn out. We would dry up. We would be scorched. We would have our soul worth would be monetized in such a way that our time, our productivity, and our energy putting into it would be our only value there. And that is where a lot of people find their mental health start to break down. And in my line of work in healing, sometimes I am able to work with people who are in a state of mind, myself included. I'm very much, it's been pointed out to me in my own journey that I run in a more masculine come from, like that I have an imbalance of masculine energy, that a lot of times my own worth and value and self-esteem is hanging on how much I can get done and how much I can contribute, and how much is actually shown for my work. And this is kind of what we have favored as a society for the last few thousand years. We have really put a lot of value on people for what they can do, how much they can get done, and how much they can show up. And my advocacy for making a change and to bringing in the feminine awakening is to understand the value that comes with the nurturing aspect and the power that comes with the feminine. So if the feminine were the moon, let's just say, then what we are running on is a more monthly cycle. This is associated with the water because the moon affects the tides and the influence that it has over us and the water in our bodies, that it's connected to the water of the earth and the water in our bodies. So this is also connected to the symbolism of the emotional. And this doesn't necessarily held back to the old argument that men often come up with, which is women are just so emotional. They can't run the earth because they're just so emotional. They just have nothing but their emotions tied to it. The truth is that men have this quality just as much. And as I keep reiterating, this is not about men and women. This is about the masculine and feminine energies that exist within each individual. And I guarantee you that wars have been started and continued based on men's emotions just as much as they would have for a woman's. That there is the balance between the practical side and what does this actually accomplish, and setting the emotions aside and doing what is best for the collective. But at the same time, being able to say the emotional side of things is an important piece we cannot forget. I don't know if anyone's ever watched any of those hospital or doctor drama shows like Grey's Anatomy, but it seems like in those shows, there's always this kind of debate as to whether a doctor should be emotional or not, whether or not they should have the compassion or be able to just make decisions based on what their logic says or what their knowledge base is about. Like, I know this is what's best for my patient, so I should just act and do it and not consider any of the emotional implications of it because I'm a doctor and this is my job. And then the debate whether or not actually the emotional side of things should be considered just as much, that there is value and power in understanding that compassion or having the human part of you that says, I do get to feel something about this. Like when the doctor loses a patient and they've died, is that doctor unprofessional if they go into a closet to go cry because they feel something for that client, for that patient? So the feminine being more emotional, being about the impact, the emotional impact of the situation, the energies of the feminine are much more connected to the rest. Since it is the moon and the dark, it is often like the winter time, the time when things are in rest. And what I like to offer when I'm speaking to clients or reading cards for someone, and this is a symbol that comes up in card reading sometimes, is if there is a pregnancy, or the idea of like the seeds that are planted, the bulbs that are planted into the earth when it's still frozen, when it's still winter, and expecting those seeds to eventually grow, those bulbs will eventually grow into flowers, you know, when the springtime does come. But there is this period of time, and pregnancy is a very beautiful symbol of this, because I always bring this up to clients when we are talking about the value of rest and the value of this time period when nothing is actually happening, when seemingly nothing is happening, when everything that is happening is behind the scenes. It's invisible work. For example, I say this, when a woman is pregnant, okay, her family, her spouse, her partner, the people in her life would not be helpful and supportive if they said to this pregnant woman, what are you doing sitting there? You need to get busy. You're growing a human being. How come you're not working? How come you're not doing anything? You should be growing a brain today. You should be working. You should be doing things. No one is going to say that to a pregnant woman. And if they did, they would be kind of insane, because that woman's whole job during pregnancy is to exist and to care for herself so that her unborn baby can be nourished. And yeah, that's it. She doesn't have to actively do much other than take care of herself, because that baby is growing and developing even when she's just sitting there doing nothing. Even if she's just laying in her bed or hanging out on the couch, that is all she needs to do to be productive. And that represents to me the feminine energies of when rest is happening, it doesn't mean nothing is happening. It doesn't mean there is no power, there is no productivity. It means that the productivity is invisible at that moment in time. And just because we can't see it, like the paint on the walls or building a house, we are in that stage of pregnancy, that stage of development and planning, that stage of rest, that stage before a person writes a book, when they are just going for walks and meditating and it doesn't look like much is happening, but actually all of those ideas and that energy and that creative flow is happening behind the scenes. That to me is a great representation of what I consider to be feminine energy. And there may be disagreements about that. There's a lot of opinions about what masculine and feminine energy is. This is the gospel according to Courtney, so I'm just relaying what I feel that that is. But I do feel like our society has valued the masculine so much for so long. It's almost like we don't even know how to value rest. We almost don't even understand it. And a lot of people struggle with their mental health because they honestly don't know how to value themselves without constantly being productive and having something to show for their time and having there be product over process. To me, the feminine energy is the process over the product. And especially when I'm teaching art, and I always relay it back to art, because to me, art is just a symbol for life. In creating an art piece, I feel like that is how we come to understand living and our lives. But to me, making art, when you're a little kid, when you're just a newly budding artist at 3 and 4 years old, you don't care about what the product is, right? Little kids don't care what their artwork looks like. They are going to hang it on the wall or the fridge, or they're going to throw it away in the garbage. They honestly don't care at that age. They really don't care what it is that they've made. But they honestly could care less what is hanging up on the fridge. They are much more concerned with the actual playing and the paint and the colors and doing finger painting and getting their fingers messy and feeling the texture and creating lines and shapes that just feel good. It's so much more embodied, the idea of just like, I'm creating. They have really very little concern about the creation itself. And sometimes when you're learning to be an artist, I am teaching artists to go back to that idea and say, sometimes you're going to create a masterpiece out of all your playing. Sometimes you're not. But you cannot be so hung up on what the product is that you forget to enjoy the process. That the process of creating is just as productive and powerful as what the product is when you're finished. To me, the sacred union is a coming together of those two things. That without both, without the logical and practical and the emotional, without the sun and the moon energies within each of us, we can be so out of balance. Because if we were completely feminine, completely into our feminine energy, we might not ever get anything done. We might end up so depressed at feeling everything that's going on, because I would be feeling everything that everyone else is feeling all the time, including the atrocities going on in Gaza and the atrocities going on in the Ukraine and all of the things happening on our earth. It would be all I could think about and feel all the time. I would never leave my bed. And I could not possibly stay in a nothing but masculine energy all the time, because we burn out and we do not see the value of our own existence, our worthiness as human beings, just for existing. That I was created, let's say, for argument's sake, in image of the divine. I am a child of the divine, which means that I'm worthy just by being here. I have the worthiness of love just for being a person. And a lot of people struggle with that because they were raised to believe that your worth is tied to how much you can get done, how much you can show up for yourself, your accomplishments. Where are you ranked? Where is the competition in all of this? When that is overtaking everything, then we cannot truly find our worth in all of that. And then I want to touch on, just for a quick second, and again, I might have to save this for a whole nother episode, but there is something that ties feminism to ecofeminism. Something called ecofeminism is the how we treat the feminine, how we treat women in our society, how we value the feminine within each of us, is also tied to how we treat the land. That if we cannot value something for existing just as it is, we may not be able to value land and creatures of the earth just for existing exactly as they are. If everything is being seen as, well, what can it do for me? And we're kind of coming from a colonization, like everything has to have a purpose, everything has to serve humans in some way or capacity, then we are not fully respecting the land for existing just for what it is, for what it does. And one example that one of my mentors was giving, she lives out in an area where it's by Antelope Island here in Utah, and there's a space of land out there that is To the naked eye, to the human eye, as we have seen it, as we've looked at it, it just looks like barren land. It's a lot of sagebrush. It's a lot of just kind of natural plant life. And it's just like wide open spaces of desert land. And the city that she lives in was debating what to do with this land, and they came up with a proposal where they wanted to build ballparks out there. They wanted to turn all of it into like a couple of baseball diamonds and kind of recreational area, things like that. And happily, I believe the ending of the story is that this city and the people of the city came to the conclusion that that land, even if it's not being used by humans, is very much serving a purpose. That just by existing as home to the wildlife, growing the natural plants that belong there, it is serving a purpose. And that we are not coming in just to bulldoze all of it, create it into something that seems more useful to us, which I'm not much of a sports person myself, so I cannot see how it's more productive as a ballpark than it would be as plant life and home to the animal kingdom. But that's, again, looking for the balance in the masculine and feminine energy, that it isn't always about how much money we can make, how much can we monetize something, how much can there be capital gain, but whether or not something serves a purpose just simply for existing. Oh man, there's so much more to say about this subject, and the balance between masculine and feminine starts within each individual person. It starts with you. And stopping and taking a moment to question, where does my value lie for myself? Where have I always felt the most valuable to society? Is it when I'm really productive and getting a lot done, and I have a lot of certificates on my wall, and I've been ranked on some, I don't know, billboard? I don't even know. If I've been ranked as number or the top five somethings of whatever. And it's like, stop and ask yourself, do I believe that my power comes through even when I am not producing and accomplishing? My own personal worth shows up when I am just existing. When I am just here, when I am nurturing others, and when I am being nurtured, am I a valuable member of society? And I want you to question that within yourself and find what parts of yourself that you maybe put too much emphasis on. Where are you out of balance on those energies? And feminism itself, the movement of feminists, it's a movement that brings about equality in society. I believe that it is a movement that says we have been valuing the masculine far too much in our society, and allowing women to show up as an equal part of it, not as a masculine. And that's really important too, because the only time women have been valued in the corporate world, in our society, in business, is when she can show up as masculine as possible. And even then, it's hard for her because she's going to be called too bossy, or, you know, she's going to be called all manner of names if she's really, really, really showing up as very masculine. And we shouldn't have to. We should be able to show up, men and women, wholly and fully ourselves, both in the masculine and feminine energy, is playing a part in who we are and how we show up in the world, and be valued for that. So anytime you feel like you're getting triggered or threatened by a feminine power, it is showing you the unhealed parts of your soul. So if there's any part of this discussion that you felt threatened, especially maybe if you happen to be a man, and you're saying, oh, this is so disrespectful to men, we're not respecting men enough, I want to ask you, maybe we've respected the masculine energy in men far too long, and that what we need to do is balance it with some feminine, so that not only women, but men also can show up with all the parts of themselves and be respected for that. It's something that I want for my boys growing up. When I participate in the feminist movement, when I call myself a feminist, it's because I want my boys to show up in a world where they are respected for what, however they show up. That whatever colors they prefer, whatever their sexuality, whatever gender they identify, whatever it means for them, they will be respected and valued. And that is what I hope for, a balance in the masculine and feminine. I do not have a question from a listener today. I would love to get questions from a listener. So if you happen to be listening today, and perhaps this discussion sparked something in you that you would like to ask more, something that you have been mulling over, like, what is going on in my life that I would like to reach out to Courtney and see if I can get some answers to these questions. And they can be magical questions, but they don't have to be. They can be divination, tarot questions. They can be questions about your personal life. But when you write into me, you will just need to look me up on my social media and find me. I'm on Facebook, Courtney Pearl, or on Instagram at prism_healing. I'm also on TikTok at Prism Healing. And I don't know how much longer TikTok is going to be a thing. There's kind of some debates on whether or not this country is going to allow TikTok anymore. I don't really care one way or the other, but I did do a really cool reading for my birthday in March, where I did what's in and what's out for me this year. And it turned out to be a fantastic reading. So if you follow me on TikTok, it's kind of where I like to do a little bit more of my fun, silly, and some of my even healing work. And kind of highlighting and advertising what it is I do. So follow me on TikTok if you'd like to find me there. But on Instagram, I like to do some live readings. So you might catch me there when I'm doing a live card reading session, kind of putting that out to the world. And you can also find me on my website, prism-healing.com. I would like you to look at my website because you would be able to see my workshops that are available coming up. I have some events, Tarot for Tips, we do once a month where we pick a coffee shop, we go and reread tarot cards and oracle cards for just pay as you can. And it's just super fun to get out there, meet the community. So find me on my next Tarot for Tips event. I do have a healing through art workshop that comes up every month at the end of the month. And this is an emotional process done in a group session. This is one of my absolute favorite things to do. It's for anyone age 13 and over. And what we do is we do a painting class, but it isn't about the painting. It's kind of like going back into our inner child and being able to paint out colors and shapes that are connected to our emotional energy. So we're painting that energy out onto the canvas. We're not making any particular pictures, just shapes and colors, and they always turn out absolutely fantastic. So I highly recommend, if you live in the area in Utah where I'm at, come to one of my Healing Through Art workshops. I'm going to be doing a Heart Smart Art workshop for kids. It's an immersive experience to raise emotional intelligence for children and their parents. So you can find those events on my website, but you can also see my individual sessions and services that I provide, private card reading sessions, private emotional process sessions, and Reiki sessions if you're looking for some healing work. So please go to prism-healing.com to look at all that I have to offer. And of course, my blog, which is on my website. If you look at the pull-down menu, you'll be able to go to my blog. But why I really want you to pay attention to that is because I have a blog post for each and every episode that I've been doing for Practically Magic. Now, this helps you because if you have any questions or any resources from the episode today, something that you'd like to learn more about, or if there's a book recommendation that I can give, then I will be giving it on my blog. So I do kind of a synopsis of the episode and a link to listen. And then I also give you some resources to help you learn more about this. There are some articles about ecofeminism, which I will post about on my blog. For now, I would like to just thank Ride the Wave Media, Jess Blaine, and the team for making all of these episodes possible, for doing the editing, doing such a good job making me sound coherent and smart. And I would like to thank Sarah Albert, my neighbor and friend at Daybreak Treasures Boutique. She features me as an artist there on her website, so you can take a look and even buy some of my paintings if you would like. And a special shout out to Synchronicities in Sandy, where I work every Wednesday as an intuitive energy worker. I absolutely love Synchronicities. I love hanging out there. I love doing sessions there. So I'm there every Wednesday, 9 to 2, and they have a beautiful gift shop and a Himalayan salt cave and a selenite cave. Lots of really cool healing spaces to hang out in there. So special thanks to them. And I would like to invite you to make your world magical in your everyday life. Use magic to strengthen your relationships, heal, prosper, and thrive. We will see you next time, Witches and Wizards. Thank you for listening.